Good morning once again. I want to start this morning with a story I read online this week. There we go. I love these stories. I often will peruse and look for stories that are funny and hysterical in different work environments, and I came across this one this week. This lady pulled up to a Wendy's and tried to order macaroni and cheese. And she was saying, "I'd like to order the macaroni and cheese." And the lady behind the window said, "We don't have macaroni and cheese." And this went back and forth for several minutes. The lady that worked for Wendy's said, "Listen, I've worked here for 4 years. We've never had macaroni and cheese. Let me ask my manager." She talks to the manager who'd worked there for 15. "No, we've never had macaroni and cheese." And the lady decides, "I'm not leaving until I get my macaroni and cheese. I don't understand why you won't serve me, why you're being so mean. I want my mac and cheese." After 15 minutes of this, the line had kind of wrapped around the building, and they said, "Ma'am, listen, we're going to have to call the police. You have to move. We need to serve people. We don't have macaroni and cheese. I'm not leaving until we get my macaroni and cheese." So finally, the lady that worked at the window told her manager, I got to go see what this lady is talking about. So she gets out of the store, comes around, comes up to the door, or the car, and she said, "Ma'am, please show me on our sign, on our Wendy's sign, where you see macaroni and cheese." And she says, "Right there, right there, right there." Next slide, Haywood, next slide. Right there, right there, macaroni and cheese right there. And she said, "Ma'am, that is mandarin oranges on our kids' menu." Sometimes in life, we can get so fixated on things that get us stuck in a rut, and we refuse to move, even though they are detrimental to who we are. And I want to look at those things throughout the course of the next several weeks. We're starting a new series this morning called PPE for Your Soul. I want to look at the issues of the soul. And we wanted to start this morning giving you a solution, and then talk about some of the things that we get ourselves wrapped up into, the issues of the soul, especially during this pandemic. A lot of words and phrases and thoughts that we've been hearing from a lot of you and conversations we've got ourselves involved in. But we want to start with some solutions and end with some solutions. And so I want to look at Romans chapter 7 this morning. Romans chapter 7. And so if you would just go ahead and find Romans chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 6, but I just want to highlight a couple things here this morning. As Paul has kind of taken the church in Rome down this journey of solid theology, and in Romans chapter 3, he says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And that concept there of sin is the sin that separates us from God. This goes all the way back to the garden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and allowed sin to enter the world. So the sin, capital S sin, that follows us throughout our lives if we don't turn ourselves over to God. All have sinned. All of us that are born into this world have sinned or are born into separation from God and fall short of his glory. And then in Romans 5, he says in verse 6, Paul says, "You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." There was something that we needed somebody else to do for us, and God chose to send his son Jesus to die on the cross for us so that we could go back to Genesis chapter 2, perfect intimacy with the Father. And then he goes on here in Romans 6. "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life." And that concept there of, that's found in 6, I'm sorry for the misreference there. The concept there of slave is it really indentured servant. It's a willingness to give yourself to God because you know that he is good. And the benefits that you reap are holiness, set apartness with him. And so we want to look at Romans chapter 7 now, because having understood all that, Paul brings us to this place in Romans chapter 7 that we all find ourselves in, and it's this concept of a crisis. And so in Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 6, I'm going to read 6 to 14 to start here today. It says in Romans 7, verse 6, "But now, by dying to what's once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law hadn't said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive, apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me and through the commandment put me to death. So then, the law is holy and the commandment is holy, righteous and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. So I'm going to stop right there for a second and just kind of navigate through a bunch of this. And the first concept here in verse 6 sums up verses 1 to 5, and so that's why I didn't read them. It's a reminder that we now serve the Holy Spirit, not the written code or the commandments that are listed here. The commands that are listed here are a response back to the Ten Commandments, that out of which the Ten Commandments came, other laws that all focused on those Ten Commandments. When you go back and look at the Ten Commandments, I'd really encourage you to do so, they can be boiled down into loving God and loving others. And Paul is saying, the commands, I looked at the commands, and the commands themselves are good, but they lead me to a place that is not good. So is the command bad? Is it evil? Is the law evil? And I like this concept. Imagine the command is similar to an x-ray. An x-ray shows you what? It shows you a broken bone. Is the x-ray bad? No, it shows you what the problem is. But if we just sit with the x-ray and focus on the x-ray and go, well, I got a broken bone. Hey, everybody, I got a broken bone. Hey, I've got a broken bone. Guess what you have? A broken bone. And so the x-ray itself is good, but if we just stay there, we'll stay in a place focusing on the thing that's not actually going to help us. And we oftentimes do this natural. So Paul chooses coveting, which is wanting something that is not yours. Man, if that's not kind of like the life act of sin for the United States of America, I don't know what is. We all constantly desire what is not ours. And Paul says, I wouldn't have known that was an issue until it was presented to me, and he kind of gets in this snowball. And so what springs to life is this, he just wants to focus on coveting. And so when he focuses on coveting, what happens? Covet, 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 covet. That's where the focus begins. And so there is no fault in the law, but the law brings to mind those things that are not helpful, that need to be removed at some point. I've been watching Cobra Kai on Netflix, so I'm in this nostalgic place. I grew up in the 80s. I'm a product of the 80s and early 90s, and so watching this series has kind of brought me back to a place when I was a little kid. And when I was younger, we had a mini trampoline. We didn't have enough money for like a large one, so we had this mini trampoline, and we used to put it out in the yard, and we used to take our mattresses off our bed and bring them outside. I don't know where my parents were. I can't remember if they just allowed us to do this or we snuck them out. That part of the story just evades me, but we used to, here, go back to the trampoline, Haywood. So that part evades me, but we used to put this mini tramp out in our yard and then our mattresses, and we used to run and jump off the mini tramp and try to do stuff onto the mattress. This is what we would do. And my older brother Tim was really good at this. He would bounce off that thing and do flips and all kinds of crazy stuff. And I can just remember this one day we were doing this, and I was trying to run, and some of my friends, as soon as I started to run, they'd jump in front of me. And then I'd stop and I have to start over and I get ready to do again. They jump in front of me and I'm like, ah. At one point I was like, I don't even care. I'm just going to run somebody over. So I start running. Somebody jumps in front of me and I'm going to try to hit them. And next thing I know, my foot catches the side of the trampoline and I wipe out. And my foot is in excruciating pain, and I'm limping around and trying not to show pain and be a tough guy. I found out 19 years later, almost, now I guess it was more like 15 years later, I found out in college that I had actually broken my foot at the time, but I was too tough to tell anybody about the issue. And so this issue that had caused me pain just stuck around. And because I didn't deal with it in that moment, it continues to cause me problems to this day. I end up with pain, especially when there's a weather system coming through. And that's not a good thing. I don't want to feel that pain. If I dealt with the issue in the time, if I had gone to the proper person, gone to a doctor, I could have fixed the issue. But I chose to try to limp it out myself. Let's continue to see what Paul says about this in Romans chapter 7, in verse 15 it says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do I do not do, but what I hate I do. And if I do what I don't want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, I keep on doing. Confused yet? Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, it is the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sin nature, a slave to the law of sin. So let me just break down the do's and do nots and the don't do's and the don't do's and the do's, and you end up doing what you don't want to do. He says, I don't understand, but I keep on doing what I don't want to do. That's not my desire. My desire is not to continue in the pattern that I'm doing, but I keep on focusing on the thing I don't want to do. And when I keep on focusing on the thing that I don't want to do, what do I end up doing? I do that thing. And on and on and on it goes. So I agree that although the command points it out to me, if I just stay focused on that, I just end up in this repeated cycle, rinse and release, where I just stay focused on the thing that is harmful to me and I don't break out of that cycle. Although I want to do good, evil is right there. And please understand that, so I stated previously that the sin that is mentioned earlier is dealt with God. Here Paul is talking about the acting out of that sin that was previously controlling our lives. And it's when we continue to focus on that thing, we just stay in the cycle. And then he lands in verse 23 that this is a war that's going on in my mind. And as we go through this series on PPE of your soul, I want to continue to remind us that ultimately when we're dealing with these issues, they get processed up here, and the enemy loves to attack your mind. It's this first wave of offense to attack your mind. And so the war is going on up here. And if we continue to just battle by ourselves, more often than not, we're going to lose this battle. And so in verse 24, he says, who will rescue me from this death? There's a crisis going on in my life that I need help from, need help for. I think one of the things that the church has not really done a great job of is this understanding that we oftentimes paint this picture that when you come to Jesus, you come to a relationship with Jesus Christ, that all of a sudden in your life, everything in your life aligns and everything becomes perfect. You know, God loves you. It's all good. Kumbaya. And the reality is it will take us one day longer than a lifetime for this process to be complete. He's declared us righteous. He sees us as his children, but there's a process that continues to take place. And if we don't understand this crisis, we will stay stuck. We'll stay stuck. There is a way out. In my nostalgicness this week, I was reminded of all the different times that in my childhood on TV shows and cartoons, it was crazy the amount of times you would see quicksand. I thought quicksand was going to be way more of a bigger thing as I got older. I thought we'd experience this on the regular because it's in like every TV show and every cartoon, somebody was getting caught in quicksand. And so I was in this nostalgicness this week and just thinking about these kind of things. So I looked up, there is a way to get out of quicksand. There's a process to get out of quicksand. You literally lean back and kind of hunch yourself and get yourself free and try to nudge, and then it says, look for something to grab onto. And my favorite was, the last response was, to scream for help. The reality is, if you do get stuck in quicksand, what happens is you generally panic, and you move vigorously, and you get yourself more stuck, because you're focused on the quicksand, and not necessarily on really getting the help that you need. Until you stop, take a breath, lean back, and get yourself into a posture of, okay, I'm not going to die, it's not the end of the world, and I actually look for help, are you going to get yourself out? I like this concept in that over and over and over again, we oftentimes get stuck in a rut of just focusing on the problem that's in front of us, and the problem stays. And we try to remove the problem, we try to remove the sin, we try to remove the situation because we're focused on that and not getting the help that we need. And it's not until we ask for help and change our focus and direction that we end up getting out of the situation. I love this. I found this. It's not in there. I saw these signs that said, beware quicksand. And the reality is the Holy Spirit knows, God knows the situations that you're going to find yourselves in. He knows where the quicksand is. And so if we follow him, he will navigate us around the problems and the situations that we will inevitably find ourselves in. And when we get stuck, he will be knee-deep there with us, helping us get out of the situation. And so then Paul lands in verse 8:1. It really is a continuation of this thought. Therefore, after everything that I've just said to you about the crisis, about getting stuck, you need to land with this. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, the one who I give to you, gives life and has set you free from the law of death. You've been set free from the sin. You do not have to engage in sinning any longer. When you do find yourself getting caught in sin, remember that I've given you the Spirit. To kind of flesh this out, I came up with this. I've said this a number of times in a bunch of different ways, but there is a difference. Some see Christianity as a religion that relies on the moral obligation to change one's behavior. In reality, Christianity is a relationship that requires yielding to the Holy Spirit, transformation that leads to holiness. It's not about behavior modification. It's about Holy Spirit transformation. If we stay stuck and focused on the issues that keep us bound, we will stay bound. There is absolutely nothing wrong with step 5 in getting stuck in quicksand, asking for help. It's not until you ask for it when you actually find the freedom that you're looking for. And so Paul's telling the church in Rome, God has given us the answer. Stop focusing on the problem and look to the solution. Yield to the Holy Spirit. So I want to land with this. What is that sin? What is that issue that is consuming your attention that needs to be released to God? What is that thing that has so garnered your focus and attention that is causing you to stay stuck? Will you release it to God who wants to take it? Will you let him help you? And then lastly, I want us all to say this last quote here. It's the embodiment of Romans 8, 1 and 2. Let's say it together. Those of you who are present, if you're sitting at home, let's do this. 1, 2, 3. I believe and receive that there is no condemnation for me because of Christ Jesus and his Spirit at work in me. The enemy of your soul wants to bring guilt and shame that leads to condemnation. The Holy Spirit wants to bring conviction, which leads to love. And it's a way different outcome. Let's choose the latter. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we understand that we cannot do this by ourselves. We know that we need help. And so today, we yield to you. We yield to you with our sin and the problems of our lives, understanding that they will keep us bound until we release them to you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would take these things, that we would be released from them, and today we would realize that there is no condemnation for those of us that love you. Lord, may others choose you today. And they choose to walk with you and for you to walk with them. Pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.